Turn in your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. We'll look at the doctrine of prayer this morning. Jesus taught his disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. We're to pray for people who will go and witness and reach people with the gospel message. Those are laborers in the harvest. If you've ever hauled hay or seen folks do that, it's hard work. And it's hard to get enough people to do that. That's why they went to this round bale system, so that a farmer can actually do that by himself if he doesn't have too big of an acreage to work with. And that's likened to the lost world. Jesus looked out over the world. He was moved with compassion. He said they were like sheep scattered without a shepherd. He told his disciples to pray for laborers. Prayer is labor. If you pray, it takes time. If you pray, it takes effort. If you pray for hours, it can bother your knees, it can bother your back. It is labor. It takes time. It takes effort. Prayer is spiritual warfare. We are always in the spiritual warfare with Satan as our enemy, the flesh. And we battle that to be spiritual people and walk in the Spirit. And when we pray, we're in warfare with Satan. Prayer is perfume to God. It is the sweet-smelling savor of his children lifting up their voices to offer him adoration and praise and to make requests and to confess our sins unto him that we might be forgiven. Prayer is power. If we pray a little, we'll have a little power. If we pray a lot, we can access the power of God. Prayer is communication with our Father. You'd like to talk to God? All you have to do is pray. And he is always listening to you and will hear your needs. Prayer is expectation. We expect that God will answer our prayers, that God will lead us. We often say God will say yes, no, or wait a while. Well, we don't hear an audible voice to tell us that, but that's sort of the attitude we develop after we pray. Prayer is thanksgiving. We're to be a thankful people when we pray. We're to acknowledge to God thanks. My daughter was reminding me this morning, they prayed for me yesterday. They saw me on the roof of one of my buildings. I got a leak in it, and I was up there on the roof of it. And she was worried about me, and so they prayed for me. Jason came over to see if he could help. And when Benjamin prayed for their lunch to eat, he thanked God that his papa was okay and got off the roof without falling, getting hurt. And prayer is thankfulness. We should be very thankful to God. Everything we have is by the grace of God. And we enjoy so much in this world compared to the rest of the world. Prayer is agreement with God. We agree with his word and his promises. Prayer is how we confess and make petition and offer praise unto the Lord. People have prayed for all kinds of things. Hezekiah prayed for longer life, and God gave him 15 more years. Daniel prayed for help when he went in the lion's den, and God shut the mouths of the lions. David prayed for mercy after his sin with Bathsheba, and it's recorded for us in Psalm 51. You're feeling especially sinful or wicked, read that psalm. And think about how David didn't just say, "Lord, I sin, forgive me." David confessed his sin and spoke about what sin does and spoke about offending his God, and it reminds us to be serious when we pray and confess our sins. Bartimaeus prayed for eyesight and he was healed. Elijah prayed for rain, but first he prayed it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed it would rain, and it did. Hannah prayed for a son, and God gave her Samuel, which she gave to the temple to be raised as a priest. and he helped the nation of Israel greatly and wrote books of the Bible. Prayers from the deep, like Jonah, who needed to get out of the whale. He didn't pray a long, deep theological prayer. He basically said, God, please help me. I see now I want to do what you wanted me to do. And God had the whale spit him out on dry ground. In the wilderness, Hagar looked up to the God of the heavens. And she did not want to see her child die. And she prayed, and God answered her prayer. Hezekiah prayed from the sick bed. Jairus prayed in the street. Paul and Silas prayed from jail. I would imagine there are a lot of prayers that go up from prisons and the jail cells. Jesus prayed while on the cross, and he prayed for others. For those who crucified him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Paul prayed in the church and taught the churches to pray and reminded them that he prayed daily for them. What doors prayer has opened. This church was trying to get started. We had passed out 1,000 flyers in the community. That's just a sheet of paper with information on it. I had one man that came. He said, well, I came to help pass out flowers. Where's the flowers? Flyers, brother. And we had the location in mind. We had talked to the lady about renting the building. And just before the church got ready to have its first service, she called me and said she was going to give it to someone else who could pay her more money. So already charging $600 a month rent for a closed restaurant. And she found somebody that thought they wanted to open it back up as a restaurant. They were willing to pay her more than we were. But she'd already committed to us that we would do it. We went to God in fasting and prayer for 2 days. And she called us back very nervously and said, I believe the Lord would have us to give that building to y'all. And so we began our first service. What battles prayer has won. What churches it has built. You look at those letters on the wall behind you of all the missionaries around the world building churches, and I promise you they pray and they pray hard. They have to pray to learn a foreign language. They have to pray to learn foreign customs. They have to pray to be accepted of the people they're ministering to. They pray for the gospel to go forth and the power of God to do the work. And right now, most of them are praying that the restrictions of COVID would go away, that they would be delivered from that sickness, and they could get back into the country and have service like we're having here today. Prayer has overcome discouragement. It has turned people around who've gotten into sin. It has helped in sickness and disease. Prayer is an amazing thing that God has given us. In Luke 11:1, Jesus said, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let's pray. Lord, as we look into your word today and we study this subject of prayer, we know prayer is as old as mankind. Back in the days of Seth, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And we've grown up knowing how to pray for our meals and pray for our bedtime. We often are very selfish in our prayers. We pray for you to bless our day and bless our meal and bless our night rest. Lord, help us always to give you thanks and to hallow thy name. That means you're holy and exalted, and you're our Father, and we come to you with our needs and petitions. We ask you to bless this service today and bless your word as it goes forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus responded to the disciples when they asked to be taught how to pray. If you want to look at it, look over at Matthew. I like Matthew's description of the prayer. better than Luke's. Same thing, but it uses different wordage. You translate from Hebrew or Aramaic into Greek, and then from Greek into English, and some of the words won't match, so there can be differences. That's why sometimes you'll read in the New Testament the name Elijah will be called Elias, and Noah will call Noe, N-O-E, and that's why those differences are there, but it's saying the same thing. In Luke 11, we saw what happens in Matthew chapter 6, and I want to begin with verse 5. Jesus is teaching, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which seeth, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask of him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Read along with me. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He went on to say, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We can't harbor resentment and hate toward people, no matter how much wrong they have done unto us. We should pray as Jesus did, that they know not what they do. When we want vengeance and anger and hatred toward people who've wronged us, we're not hurting them one bit. We're hurting our relationship with our Father. And our power in prayer is hindered. It's important that we recognize that. The best way not to hate somebody is to pray for them. Pray God will save them. Pray God will work in their heart. Pray God will bring them to the point that He can bless them. And they will know the Lord and be our brother or sister and not be astray. Now these disciples had heard Jesus pray, and they had been, some of them had been John the Baptist's disciples and came to Jesus, and they communicated with John or his disciples, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. They were envious of that. In Matthew 7:7, prayer is simply asking. Verse 7 of chapter 7 says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Prayer is something that we are to continue in. We never get to the point that we don't need to pray. Prayer is asking. It is asking of God, our Father, the desires and petitions and needs that we have that we lay before Him. And always we pray for His will to be done. Do you recognize that God knows better what you need than you know yourself? You see, we would often ask for things that would harm us or not be good for us or that might lead us astray from our service to the Lord. And God knows all of that. Just like a parent knows that a six-year-old doesn't need a shotgun. He doesn't need something that would hurt him and harm him. When I was a boy, I wanted things. Oh, did I want things. We'd get out the wish book, and that was the Sears and Roebuck catalog, and sit down in the floor and look at all those things that you could order, and I got a 410 shotgun for my 9th birthday. I couldn't use it unless my dad was with me. And my dad took me squirrel hunting the first day on my birthday in September 16th.
And we went down through the woods, and he said, I'm going to walk past that big oak tree right there, and you keep your eye on that oak tree. He said, that squirrel, if he's in the tree, he's going to come back around on your side. And that squirrel came back around like he said, and I put that thing up to my shoulder, and I shot, and that squirrel fell down. And my dad was more excited than I was. It scared me a little bit, but he was so excited his son had killed his first squirrel. And so we hunted a little bit, and we took the squirrels back home, and Daddy cleaned them, and my mama cooked them. We didn't kill animals just to kill animals. We ate what we killed. And my mom could cook squirrel real good. It tasted good as a steak. Well, with gravy on it, it was good anyway. And I don't eat squirrel anymore. I don't hunt for squirrels anymore. My wife would like for me to because we got a yard full of them. And they steal all the bird seed and stuff. Y'all know what it's like. Well, prayer is asking, and prayer is powerful, and God will bless us with our needs. In 1 John 5 and verse 13, 1 John 5 and verse 13, I got chasing that squirrel trail there and forgot where I was at. 1 John 5, 13, what I was going to tell you is a parent knows better what a child needs, and that he doesn't need something that he'll hurt himself with, just like God knows that with all of us. 1 John 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5, 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So prayer is asking, and asking in the will of God. Jesus taught how not to pray, not like the hypocrites, not loud sounding, not with the attitude to be seen and heard of others. It's not with a flowery speech that we've learned things from the Bible and we use words that other people don't know and we, you know, try to impress people with our ability in prayer. That's not praying the way God wants us to pray at all. God wants us to pray with a humble heart. We're talking to the Almighty God when we pray. And our prayer should be thoughtful and prayerful and thankful. We should not pray to be seen and heard of people. If we do, we've already got all we're going to get, the appreciation of people who see and hear us. We're to approach God with humility, seeing that we honestly, as a child, ask of God, our Father, to cleanse us and help us and intercede on behalf of others when we pray and ask God's help for them. You remember the story in Luke 18, verse 9 through 14, where the publican and the sinner went into the temple to pray. And the publican stood and told God how lucky he was to have him as one he could pray. And the sinner bowed his head, wouldn't even look up, and beat upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says that man went home justified, that God heard and answered his prayer. Secondly, Jesus said, without me you can do nothing, in John 15 and verse number 5. That's still true today of all those who believe in him. We're wasting our time if we don't have God working for us in trying to build a church, in trying to do the work of the ministry, in trying to get lost people saved, in baptizing believers, in teaching the word of God. We've got to have the help of God to do these things. Prayer in the church congregation. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Jesus showed himself alive from the dead for 40 days. And the disciples went to Jerusalem and met in prayer for 10 days, waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit to indwell them who were believers. And after Jesus departed, it was the disciples who, as the church, began to pray, began to teach, began to preach the Word of God, began to show men how to be saved. Today it's the job of the church. We are in the church age, or dispensation of grace that is the church age. And we have the job to do that God has given us. Men think today we need a big church. Must be big and elaborate and draw people by the looks of the facilities. But look at chapter 2. In the early church, they met at the temple. And they didn't own the temple. And they prayed. And they went from house to house. Look with me at verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. The early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Bible Baptist Church had people saved daily because of the work of the ministry of the people of God? The church prayers. Men think the church needs so much. Today, churches use a Hollywood style of music and entertainment, professional organization, highly trained leaders with advanced degrees, and they think these are the things that build the church. But the apostles who built the early church for the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 4 and verse 13 were called ignorant and unlearned. But men could tell they had been with Jesus because they spoke like him and said the things that he had said. Paul did not have all the elaborate things that we have today. But all of the New Testament churches developed from the missionary journeys that they went on. Paul had rabbinical training. Maybe that's why God used him in penning so many of the New Testament books, or epistles as they're called, letters to the churches, Corinthians and Romans and these kind of things. But all the disciples had none of that rabbinical training, and yet they had the power of God. They had no huge budget. They shared with one another the possessions they had. Peter said when he went to the temple at the hour of prayer, a man appealed to him for alms, a man who was lame from his mother's womb. And Peter looked on him and said, "Look on us, Peter and John. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And the man arose, and strength came to his legs for the first time. And he leaped and praised God. There was an old preacher that told about a preacher from South Carolina who pastored a small rural church, and he didn't have any Bible training or education. He just what we call took to preaching one day, you know. And he would just open his Bible and let it fall open. Wherever it fell open, he'd start reading scripture and start preaching while he was reading. And Dr. R.G. Lee, who was originally from Fort Mill, South Carolina, took him aside one day and said, "Brother, you know, if you'd get you a text and study it and pray over it and prepare a message from it," he said, "I believe you could help the people a lot more." And so he preached at a meeting where there were a lot of preachers there. And he shared his text. He preached on Naaman was a leper. The truth was, Naaman was a leper. And Naaman got healed. But he thought that meant he was a leper. And so he used this text and told the man leaping and praising God and going into the temple. He said, that's what we need today, is more leapers. And I'll tell you the truth, that's true. We need more people who have the emotion of God in their heart to tell the story of the gospel message. And we need to pray and have the power of God to do it. What the early church had, they had the power of God, they had the word of God, and they had little else beside prayer and faith. And they turned the world upside down for God. The church has authority. When the church prays united in belief, the church has authority to make decisions to bind on earth and loose in heaven. Our Savior is the head of the church. He's seated at the right hand of God, making intercession as our advocate with the Father. And so we pray through Him for God to work on our behalf. So as we gather, let us get our minds and hearts in one accord like the early church was and pray the power of God down to do the work. In Acts 1:14, they continued in one accord in prayer and supplication. The word supplication means to express a need. Now this is what I mentioned in our prayer request of folks that we pray for. Some of these I don't know. And I will pray for them, and I'll ask God to help them, and I'll ask God to give a victory for them. But when I pray for the Cornwall sitting back there, I've now discovered they have $100,000 damage to their home from broken water pipes. And they're living in a motel room. When I pray for them, I know them. I like them. And I love them as a brother and sister. I'm going to pray with supplication. I'm going to express to God a need we have as your people. When I look down that list, the prayer list is so long. I know those names, but I don't know many of those people. I pray, Lord, bless them. I don't know their need. You do. And we present them to you and we pray for their help. But when I get to the people that are members of this church, like the Baskins, like Loretta, like Tommy Nance, like our folks with cancer, as we did so faithfully with Chris Holland's wife, and we continue to do with his parents, as we pray for Chelsea's dad, who now is getting ready to get a kidney transplant, we pray with these with supplication. We pour out our need to our Father who is able to help us. The early church prayed in Acts together in the upper room. The men, the women, they prayed with the apostles. I suspect they didn't call on one person to lead in prayer like we usually do in a church service. They laid out some needs and they said, let us pray. And they didn't shout to be heard and overpray one another. They bowed their heads and they prayed to God together. And they were in unity to make their needs known unto God. Prayer includes praise and adoration and confession of our sins and thanksgiving unto God and appeals made for our needs. I prayed before I got on that roof the other day. I prayed vertigo wouldn't hit me, that I wouldn't slide off, that I'd fix the leak and all of that. And I got on the roof and did what I needed to do, and I was able to get down. Jason came over and steadied the ladder for me as I came down. And then I thanked God when Joy and I ate our lunch that God had protected me and nothing happened while I was there. I'm thankful for simple things that I used to do without even thinking. But now I pray before I do them and I pray after I do them and I give thanks to God. Paula Sprague has been battling cancer and is on our list, and we need to faithfully lift her up and make supplication before the Lord and intercede on her behalf and that of her family. We pray for these needs. We pray with praise to God, and we pray in the will of God. James uses Elijah as an example of prayer. And he said that when he prayed, that he was a man of like passions as we are. We think about Elijah calling down fire from God. It devoured the sacrifice. It devoured all the water they poured over it with barrels. And then they turned and they killed the prophets of Baal. Elijah had great power of God. There are 8 specific miracles that took place in answer to his prayers. But James says Elijah was just a man. He had the like passions we do. Matter of fact, after he'd done all that calling down fire, he got discouraged and depressed and asked God to let him die. He said, "It's enough. I fought this battle alone too long, too much. Let me die now." God said, "I've reserved to me 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to Baal nor kissed his image. You're not alone." And the church may be small in places, my friends, but we're not alone. We are the church of Jesus Christ. And if we do things in the will of God, we have the power of God accessible unto us if we will just use his power. In 1 Kings 16, it tells us the story of Ahab and Jezebel and how they turned the nation of Israel to Baal worship instead of the worship of the true God. Idolatry. Elijah did not invent praying for God to withhold the rain. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 13, talking about going into the promised land of Canaan, God said to them, "It shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in the fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you." God had said, if you worship idols, I'll withhold the rain. Elijah prayed, "Lord, you know that. You know what you said. They're worshiping idols. Withhold the rain." And God withheld the rain for 3.5 years. And then, after they defeated the worship of Baal, and the people cried, "The Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God," then Elijah prayed for rain. He prayed and he waited and he prayed and he waited and he prayed and he sent his messenger to go and look for a cloud coming across the ocean. And finally, a little small cloud. He said, "It looks like the size of a man's hand." And that brought rain and met the needs of the people. And we are to pray as he prayed, effectual, fervent prayer to Almighty God. For it's his power we need. It's not our prayer that will be the thing, except that we do it in faith and belief and access unto God. The Lord said in Psalm 50, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. We glorify God as we pray. Jesus said, when you pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And that means holy. God is sanctified above us. God is holy. And we're accessing him. In James 5, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. availing with God. You say, well, Elijah was a great prophet of God. Yeah, but he was still a man. He still got discouraged. He still got depressed. He still had needs. And we can pray and access the same God that Elijah accessed. We must be a people of prayer. In Luke 18, Jesus said, pray and faint not. In other words, don't lose heart when you pray. God often makes you wait while you pray. He knows what you have need of. But oftentimes our prayers are so simplistic and so unthought through, and we just blurt them out. We need to think we're communicating with the God of the universe, the creator of all. And we need to do it with an attitude of humility and hope and expectation that he will honor his word. We're taught to watch and pray lest we enter into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus himself said to Peter and James and John, come and pray with me. And Jesus prayed, and he came back to them, and they had fallen asleep. He woke them and said, can you not pray with me 1 hour? And he went back, and when he came back, they were asleep again. You see, that's often what happens to us. We faint. We don't endure. We don't pray to get hold of God. Paul wrote to Thessalonica in chapter 5, in closing, in 10 rapid commands he gave there. They're called imperatives from the Greek language. It means they are imperative, a command to do. And he said, pray without ceasing in verse 17. Keep on praying, keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. Jesus gave many examples about prayer. An unjust judge who helped a widow because she kept coming and aggravated him and just kept on asking and kept on, so finally he helped her. And Jesus didn't tell that's the way you have to pray to God. He was telling you that God, who loves you and desires to bless you, is unlike that unjust judge. When you pray to him, he will meet your needs, unlike that man who did it only because she aggravated him. When we pray, it's a part of the armor of God for the battle we face. So let us pray believing. Let us pray with prayer and supplication. And let us intercede on behalf of others in prayer. You are godly when you pray for other people. We have a priesthood of believers today. We don't have the Jewish priesthood from Aaron. The Lord Jesus is our great high priest. And every one of you that are saved is a priest for your family, for your neighbors, for your co-workers, for yourself. We should offer from our lips thanksgiving unto God in our priestly prayers and intercede on behalf of others. Today, I pray, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, or if you're watching at home and you don't know the Lord, we urge you to come and let us take the Bible and show you how you can be saved before it's too late. We pray in Jesus' name. All right, let's have our pianist come and play, and we will offer an invitation for you to come and let us take the Bible and show you, or join the church, or surrender for a letter, whatever it may be.